Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. God's Word says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. Have you ever thought about the difference between saying prayers and praying? There is a difference. Scores of people say prayers, and these people, many of them, are not religious, at least not in the sense of the word that we use it today, where we speak of Christianity, church, affiliated visit, and participate in churches. Many people today who say prayers, they're not affiliated with any church, any denomination, or any affiliation at all. Yet when asked, they will tell you they say prayers. Today in postmodern America, we can easily say that every expression of hope and ambition is called a prayer. That seems to be the way our nation is turning in Christianity. That anything and anything we want to lift up in the name of God, we do so and we call it prayer. Yet, from God's perspective, every real prayer is a spontaneous expression of the soul's hunger. Now think about that. When we pray in God's perspective, we're hungry. We're hungry for something with God. We want to give Him something. We want to ask Him for something. We want to thank Him for something. But we have a heartfelt desire, a yearning to be in the presence of God, a hunger to talk with and to be there and to be at the throne of grace. Speaking of which, a prayer is a door to the throne of God. And it is of infinite importance tonight that we know how to open that door and how to enter the presence of God and how our thoughts and our desires reach Him. Let's not degrade, simplify, or even misunderstand prayer. I've heard a lot of people talk about prayer as if it was some kind of a spiritual errand boy that was sent to fetch something from God. Prayer is so much more than simply making a request. It's not only getting from God, but it's giving praise and giving worship and glory to God. It's not necessarily speaking, but also listening. Prayer has been rightly called a ministry. Have you ever thought about your prayer life as being a ministry? A very deep and a very spiritual ministry. And a ministry like any other ministry, it is only born-again Christians who are capable of entering into it. With that understood, we have to realize because we're capable of praying doesn't mean we're always prepared to pray. Born-again Christians are the only ones who can really touch the throne of grace by praying. And by being prepared, we can have God's ear and God's heart. But are we always prepared? Do we always know exactly how to approach God? Have you ever had something on your heart and you want to take it to God, but you've never really known how? You've never really known how to pray for it. You've never really known how to ask God for it. Well, tonight from the passage we read, we're going to understand a little more about how God really gets that connection made for us and through us. If we're honest tonight, we're going to realize more often than not, we're simply not prepared to approach God in prayer. We may think we are, but we're really not quite there. You see, that's when the Holy Spirit comes into play. That's when the Holy Spirit steps in on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is an intercessor. The Holy Spirit makes a connection that we wish to make, but we often fail to make. The prayers of the Holy Spirit are always effective. They never fail. And from our passage tonight, we're going to see how true and how reliable the Holy Spirit is. So notice with me three things this afternoon. Three things about the groanings of our Comforter. First, notice with me that God searches our hearts. And before I get into that, I want to back up just a moment. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We have infirmities. We are the children of God. We are born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But yet, even with that salvation, we still have shortcomings. And with those shortcomings, when they go unrepented or when they have such a strong desire, such a strong tug, such a strong pull in our life, they overcome us. They overwhelm us. And when they do, and we become angry, we become frustrated, we become confused, we become aggravated and agitated. We become worldly. We separate ourselves from God. But the Holy Spirit helps those infirmities. Verse 26 tells us, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We might have an idea, we may have a thought, we may have a feeling, but God tells us plainly, we really don't know what we should pray for and how we should pray for it. We know what we want to see accomplished. We may be praying for our children, we may be praying for our grandchildren, for our spouse, for our church members, for our community, for our country, and we may have it in our mind what we think God needs to do, and we may be approaching God and we may be laying all of these thoughts, all of these ideas, all of these things out before God. God, you need to do this, and God, you need to do that, and God, you need to do the other, like we're some type of an advisory committee. God knows the condition. God knows the circumstances. He knows the situation. He knows how they got there, and He knows where it's going from there. What God wants us to do is come to Him with an understanding that this is something we can't do anything about. It's something we can't fix. It's something we can't correct. It's going to take God to do it. Prayer is about us humbling ourselves before God in realizing this is beyond me. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession. Intercessions that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit sees and knows. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The sovereignty that God the Father has is shared by God the Son and is shared by God the Holy Spirit. They are all three equally sovereign. Think of that. God sits on His throne as Creator. God came to earth incarnate in the form of Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer. God returns as the Comforter for you and I to indwell us with His presence until we go home to be with Him. God the Holy Spirit. Well, God searches our hearts. We know for that from verse 27. It opens up, and he that searcheth the hearts. God knows our lives. Now, we talk about that very loosely today, especially among Christians. We talk about it very loosely about God knowing our life. God knows everything. God knows everything. Yes, he does. God is sovereign, but so is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is sovereign too. He knows our thoughts, our desires. He knows our faults. He knows our successes. We need to let that sink in. And if it really sinks into our hearts tonight, it will be somewhat frightening. What comes out of our mouth is not always what's in our heart. And we can say amen or oh me, but that's true. What comes out of our mouths is not always what's in our hearts. And God knows both. And just as he knows everything we do, God also knows everything that we're holding on to, everything that we're holding back. God knows all of the little secrets of our heart, the thoughts, the feelings, the angers, the bitterness, the frustration, whatever it may be. He knows the joy. He knows the worship. He knows the exaltation. He knows all of the things, whether they are spoken, whether they are exclaimed outwardly, or whether they're withheld inwardly. God knows who we are building up and who we're tearing down, and he knows why we're doing it. As we call out to God with our thoughts and our intentions in prayer, when we are going to God in prayer and when we are bringing people to the Lord in prayer, circumstances or situations, he knows the truth. And with the truth, God impresses upon the Holy Spirit to do some things. He impresses upon the Holy Spirit to take our intentions and make them truthful. The Holy Spirit standing at the throne of God making intercession for you and I, while we may come in a sinful condition, in a broken condition, in a fleshly condition, and we may be uttering a prayer that may sound good to all of those around us, but God sees the depth of that in our heart, and the Holy Spirit is there making utterances on our behalf, making the correction to the truth of the matter and setting it straight before God as if he already knows. But the Holy Spirit is there on our behalf correcting all of the flaws and all of the infirmities that we have in our prayer life and in our personal life. But there's something much better when he gives utterances on our behalf to our prayer life. He also brings with that convictions to our heart. So when we go to God in prayer and when we are bringing up someone else, and while we may have some selfish intentions and we may be holding back some things that we're not willing to lay out before God, God knows them. The Holy Spirit is making an intercession on our behalf before God, but he's also making an intercession into our hearts to get our hearts cleaned up. Our prayer life has a twofold effect. Our prayer life has an effect on the one that we are lifting up in prayer. It gets its corrections. It gets made righteous and holy before God. And it also has an effect of convicting us, the Holy Spirit does, so that we can come back to God in better condition spiritually. We can get up from that prayer better spiritually prepared than we did when we went down on our knees for it. God searches our hearts. And that goes much deeper than what we often think about when we give a vocal, when we talk about God knows our hearts and we're thinking about God knows the good things, God knows all of the right things. Yes, he does. And God knows all of the other things too, the things that are kept in, the things that are let out. And the Holy Spirit is there making intercession for those. Well, something else we see in this passage, and that is God knows the mind of the Spirit. Again, in verse 27, searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God not only knows our heart, but He knows the Holy Spirit. They're both sovereign, like I said earlier. They're both part of the triune Godhead. God knows the Holy Spirit isn't going to spin anything for anyone. The Holy Spirit don't have favorites. God knows, as part of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit is going to bring everybody to Him equal. There are no favorites. God the Holy Spirit does not look upon one person in regard to the other. God the Holy Spirit sees someone covered in the blood of Jesus or not. There's no middle ground. Either their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they are children of God, or they're not. If they're not covered in the blood of Christ, and if they're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then there's one prayer and only one prayer that God can hear from them, and that is a prayer for plea of forgiveness and repentance for salvation. But the child of God that is covered with the blood of Christ has the blessings of being able to have the Holy Spirit making that intercession. And the mind and the workings of the Holy Spirit are just as holy and just as righteous as anything Jesus Christ ever said, or as any miracle or any work that God Himself had ever done. You and I may have good intentions when we pray, but we're not sovereign. We don't know all. We pray based on the information and the feelings that we have, and those feelings are flawed because they come from flawed man. We are brought into this world into a sin nature and into a depravity that when we come to God in salvation, the consequences of that is forgiven, and we have an imputed righteousness placed upon us. But this flesh, this body is still a sin-ridden, sin-riddled body that is flawed. We are susceptible to feelings, to emotions. We can be easily swayed. Our feelings from one day to the next and our emotions from one day to the next can change the way we think about ourselves, about others, about intentions, about thoughts. But God's perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect and sinless and all-knowing. And you know, we can celebrate that tonight and we can praise God for that tonight, because it's a blessing to know that God has our back when it comes to prayer. That even though our intentions may be good, our intentions and our thoughts and our feelings of coming to God may be good, He may see flaws inside of that, but He, through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, takes those flaws, takes us, warts and all, and comes to God on our behalf. That's something we can celebrate tonight. God the Holy Spirit comes to the throne on our behalf. Well, not only does God search the hearts, and not only does God know the mind of the Spirit, but the Spirit also knows the will of God. But last part of verse 27, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We've looked at the sovereignty of God, the Holy Spirit, when it comes to our prayer life. But what about the Holy Spirit and the will of God pertaining to your life? When we pray, do we put our prayers together with the thought and the understanding that God has a purpose for us? God has a will for us. He has a direction, a gift, a calling. And the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and the Holy Spirit works our prayers in order to meet the will of God in our life. Our prayers ought to be thought through in regards to what God wants from us. What does God want from me? What does God want to do through me? What does God expect from me? How does my prayer life become adjusted according to God's Word and God's will? And how does the Holy Spirit take my prayer life and work? This study of the prayer life and the intercession of the Holy Spirit, it gets real, real deep. And I'll be honest with you, there are things in just these two verses of Scripture that you're not going to study out academically. And you're not going to put together and come up with any type of an idea. It's going to take only the revelation of God the Holy Spirit to bring it out. It is that deep. But for the sake of the message tonight, we need to ask that question. How does our prayer life get communicated in relation to the will of God for us? What does He want for our little church? What does God want for our families? Not giving things materially, but what does He want in our service? What has He prepared us to do? What has He gifted us to do? What does He want in a relay? How does our prayer life fit into His will? The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit's making intercession for those things. The Holy Spirit is bringing us, is coming to God on behalf of us for a work through us and for a work within us. So every time we pray, and every time we pray for someone else or pray for something else, We now need to approach that prayer with an understanding that God the Holy Spirit is not only going to be listening to my petition, but He's going to be looking at my heart, and He is going to be doing a work inside of my heart and my life according to the flaws that I have and to the fleshly desires that may be intermixing and messing with it. God the Holy Spirit is going to take all of those flawed areas, going to smooth them out, and then He's going to look at God's will in my life. And He's going to take that prayer, and He's going to change my life with it according to His will and use my life then to see that prayer brought out and touch the lives of those that I'm praying for. The difference between just saying a prayer and praying. The difference. That's why when we go back into the New Testament and Jesus' teachings in the gospel, we hear Jesus talk about vain repetition. That's why Jesus discourages vain repetition. Don't do like the Pharisees and their vain repetition. Repeating words that look and sound nice to people, it may make them feel better, but it doesn't touch their hearts because it's not making it to the throne of grace. God wants His people to pray. To pray spiritually, to let the Holy Spirit have His work in His way. The Holy Spirit knows what God wants, and He's making this intercession on behalf of us. And then He's moving on God's behalf to achieve His will in your life and in my life. Prayer is an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. Our prayer life should never become something that could be considered a vain repetition. And I hope you see tonight, at least to some degree, why the Lord was disappointed in the Pharisees over their prayer life and how disconnected they were from God. And yet, they made such an impression on man that they actually led man further away from God. And I want to encourage you to think about your perception of prayer and how that works in the lives of other people. Because that prayer life and how that prayer life works is truly a ministry. A ministry in the lives of others, a ministry in the life of our community, a ministry in the life of our world, a ministry that just like any other ministry, whether it is preaching or teaching or missions work or whatever it may be, music and singing, a prayer ministry is a powerful, powerful ministry that given the right perception and given the proper attention in our life, it literally touches the throne of God with our petitions. It's a ministry that will not only affect your life, but through it, you can change the lives of others. Let's pray.